This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. Yellow submarine.
That is, of course, a little bit of the title track of Yellow Submarine by the Beatles. You know, on July 8th, there will be worldwide screenings to mark the 50th anniversary of the animated film Yellow Submarine. The avant-garde, surrealistic, artistic masterpiece is as fresh and relevant today as it was when it was released back in 1968. Beatles author Susan Shumsky is on to talk about the film. She has some insight into the making of the movie. Susan also spent 22 years in the ashrams and 6 years on the personal staff of Beatles guru Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and she's the author of her memoir, Maharishi and Me. She joins us on the line right now from Nevada. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Peter. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Thanks for being on the program with us. I understand you just watched it yourself to catch up with the movie. Does it hold up after all these years?
Oh my gosh, it holds up so well. Here we are 50 years later, and the theme of the movie, the look of the movie, is entirely fresh and new. It is so today. I would say that this film is timeless. There's nothing about it that looks or feels dated at all. And the message of the film is as relevant today as ever. So I was just thrilled to watch this film. I love it.
Now, you actually never met the Beatles yourself, but as you mentioned, you were connected to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, so you kind of knew them through him, right?
Well, yes, you could say that, because I knew Maharishi very, very well. I spent 22 years in his ashram and 6 years on his personal staff. So I really understand the philosophy that Maharishi was putting forth, was teaching, and how he influenced the Beatles and their music, definitely.
Knowing the man as well as you do, when you watch the movie, do you really see his imprint in their work?
Absolutely. I see his imprint in their songs, in the lyrics of their songs, and their philosophy. The film itself was not written by the Beatles, however. It was written by Lee Minoff, and then the art director was Heinz Edelman, and those were the two main creators of this film. The Beatles really had nothing to do with the film other than writing the songs, obviously, that are in the film. But the screenplay, the book and the screenplay are based upon those songs. And the songs really put forth Maharishi's philosophy, the entire philosophy of the 60s, in fact, which started with the psychedelic era, and then the Beatles then went on to really explore spirituality with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
You mentioned the fact that the Beatles weren't really heavily involved in the movie. As a matter of fact, I'm sure some people would be surprised to know that, you know, they contributed 4 unpublished songs, among others, for the film. They didn't even voice their own characters, but I understand they kind of regretted not being more involved.
Well, once they saw how magnificent the film came out, they truly regretted that they were not part of it, that they hadn't voiced their own characters. So at least they showed up at the very end of the film. They appeared at the end of the film for about 1 minute. And, you know, that was it. They had nothing to do with the film. But, you know, the film was so artfully made that you wouldn't know that, because the characters just spoke exactly as the Beatles would speak. The jokes in the film were exactly the kind of Liverpudlian kind of humor that the Beatles would use. In fact, there were Liverpudlian actors that played their characters, and also a Liverpudlian that wrote the humorous part of the film that included that kind of humor. So, in fact, the Beatles were very well represented in the film.
When you watch the movie, and again, you didn't meet the Beatles, but you can understand their spirituality. Of the 4, who would you say was the most spiritual?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because Maharishi believed that, in fact, he said that Ringo was the best meditator because he went just completely by heart and he was so innocent. But he said that George was the most advanced and that this was his last life. In other words, he was the most spiritually advanced. So it's an interesting question that you ask. And I think that Ringo and George were both the most, very spiritually inclined.
There is a lot of symbolism in this movie, and I'm sure it's an animated film, so kids got to see it. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that went over the heads of kids and even the heads of adults. But someone like yourself, who has worked a long time with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, tell us a little bit about some of the symbolism that is in this movie that might have slipped past a few people.
Yes. So Pepperland, which is the land that this film takes place in, was an unearthly paradise that was 80,000 leagues beneath the sea. So it was beneath the subconscious mind. It was the field of paradise within, which is the field of pure consciousness, our higher self, the place within us that is truly connected to our divine nature. So Pepperland is paradise. It is the end-all, be-all experience of humanity. And it's filled with positivism. It's filled with these words, big words. They're like monuments within this paradise. Words like love, yes, okay, and the word no, K-N-O-W, which was clipped to N-O, by the Blue Meanies, which the Blue Meanies are representing negativism. So we have negativism against positivism in this film. The Blue Meanies are trying to overcome anything that's positive. And the Blue Meanies and Eleanor Rigby, all the lonely people that show up in the film, who are, they're literally blue, they have the blues. They're devoid of love. They're harboring a negative attitude. And John Lennon's sign of the horn is also a symbol in the film. But it's not a demonic sign, as people might think. It's quite the opposite. In fact, it's an ancient Buddhist gesture that expels negative energies. And there's another important symbol in the film, which is the Maya temple. The Maya temple, and the yellow submarine represents the sun, and it's perched atop the Maya pyramid. And this is really the same image that we find on the reverse side of the United States $1 bill, which represents the eye of providence, which is also the third eye or eye of illumination, the seat of our sixth sense. So these are some of the There's so many symbols in the film. These are just some of them.
Now, the 50th anniversary screenings are taking place on July the 8th, so I'm sure it'll find a whole new audience of those who weren't around when the movie was made 50 years ago. But I'm curious to think if you, curious to know rather, if you think that of those who have seen the movie before, probably as young children or teenagers, if they'll look at it differently seeing it today through older, more mature eyes?
Well, yeah, I would think so. I would imagine that those of us who were around in 1968 who saw the film, I mean, I certainly didn't get all that symbolism out of it when I first saw it, even though I was already an adult at that time. But certainly those who were kids at the time, they're going to get a whole lot more out of the film. And they're also going to really get the humor. There's so much humor in this film. It's really quite hilarious. And there's a lot of very subtle jokes in the film that are for adults. It's actually almost more like an adult film in a way. But a lot of animated films are like that. They appeal not only to kids, but also adults, because there is adult humor in just about any animated film.
You said earlier when we first started talking that the film does certainly hold up 50 years later, but also in this tumultuous time that we live in, do you think the film is even more important now than it was when it came out 50 years ago?
I think it's a universal theme. The idea that all you need is love, the idea that the love is shining within you and all around you. The basic theme of the film is love being the cohesive force that can overcome all negativity and can create world harmony, because love is what overcomes the blue meanies in the film. You know, they're not killed by weapons or anything. They're really, it's flower power that is is overcoming the blue meanies. And the main songs in the film, All You Need Is Love, and the other main song, which is It's All Too Much, express the idea of love overcoming negativism. And at the end of the film, the nowhere man called Jeremy Hillary Boob, he overcomes the blue meanie with flower power. And then John invites the blue people to come and hook up and otherwise commingle and join us. And then Boob says, ah, yes, is a word with a glorious ring, a true universal euphonious thing engenders embracing and chasing of blues, the very best word for the whole world to use. And then the blue meanie says, yes, let us mix, Max. I never admitted it before, but my cousin is the bluebird of happiness. And then at the very end, the song, It's All Too Much, plays. And that's all about the love light that's shining within us and all around us. And that song was written by George Harrison. So it's a very spiritual song. And he says in the song, your love is... when I look into your eyes, your love is there for me. And the more I go inside, the more there is to see. It's all too much for me to take the love that's shining all around you. So the meaning of that song is that love is within us. And the more we go within, the more we see the truth. In other words, through meditation, through experiencing who we really are, we realize the self and we realize our true nature, which is pure love.
And we'll end it on that. The movie, of course, is The Yellow Submarine, which is now celebrating its 50th anniversary. Your book is called Maharishi and Me, and people can also go to your website, which is drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org, correct?
Yes, that's it.
Thank you very much for being on the program with us, Susan.
Well, thank you, Peter. I really enjoyed speaking about the movie Yellow Submarine.
Susan Shumsky, author of Maharishi and Me. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0463, and you'll find links to Susan's site, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.